When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On Giddy Up, it's now time for the Midweek Masterclass.
Welcome back to Giddy Up, time for the Midweek Masterclass. And Mitchie Lewis joins us. They're racing at Sandown and Strathalbyn in Victoria and South Australia. G'day, Mitchie.
Hello, Gareth.
Take it away, mate, with your best bets. We'll start off with Sandown.
Yep, so Lakeside and off the top of my head, rails out slightly. So I think it might favour those horses a little bit on speed. Now, there's one. I've got two early plays here, one at a bit more value. So race three, number three, Rock the Bar. Ben Mellum on here, Danny O'Brien, last start winner, down in grade. It comes back up in grade. I think it maps really, really well here. I think it's going to be in the right spot from barrier four there. Winning form's good form. I think it sets up nicely for this horse. It's around the right mark for now. There's been some more support this morning, so I'm thinking they'll back it a little bit more as well, Gareth. So that's why I thought we'd throw it out here nice and early this morning. But I think that one maps beautifully in race three.
Yeah, $3.40 at the moment with Bet365. What else have you got for us, mate?
Now, one at a bit of value in race five, the number two horse, Coco Sun, for the McAvoy team. I'm excited to see what this filly can do. She's a listed winner, and she was fifth in the Victorian Oaks. So she's probably going to get better over more trip, you would assume. She spent most of her last prep in group and listed level races. She resumes at a BM64 here. She is a first-up winner, and she has won over the 1,400 metres. So I think it could set up quite nicely for Coco Sun. If she gets the right run, I'd be a little bit concerned if she got too far back from barrier four, but if she can hold a position midfield, I think she's great value in that race.
All right, then Coco's Son, a little later on. Anything else for us?
Just those two for now. I suppose I'm keenly watching the market in race seven. I sort of thought, depending on how the track plays, the 12 Snippety Legend might be a play from barrier one. So it's probably one that I think is a good each-way play at this stage, but I just want to see how the track is, because if it does end up a little bit leaderish, I think that horse is going to get run of the race at a pretty good each-way price.
All right, mate. What about at Strathalbyn?
Yeah, so Strathalbyn's a little bit interesting. It's a little bit tough given the fact they've got the Oakbank meets coming up. So this weekend they've got two meetings Saturday, a meeting Sunday, and a meeting Monday. So we've got finished fields. No odds, obviously. Now, in race two, there's one we're going to have a look at. I think this is the one Johnny O'Neill's involved, isn't it? Number seven, High Five.
That's correct? It. Yeah.
G-Man, right. There was a bit of tip for this horse last time, and it had some strong market support before it was scratched race day. From what we've seen, it's the standout horse in this field. The race map's a little bit of a concern for me. I don't think, potentially, if it settled dead last, I'd be a little bit concerned about where it's going to be. So I'd like to think we could try and get $2.50 to $3 when they open. But if we're getting under $2 and if it does end up out the back, I think you'd be a little bit concerned there, Gareth. So does that make sense?
That's yeah, 100%.
Play there.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
All right, then.
I think it's the best horse in the race. The race map concerns me, so I'd want something juicier than even money.
All right, then. So race two, number seven. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, mate. I'll speak to you then.
Mark Roden joins us. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. What are we doing on the Kensington track?
Yeah, got a couple for you at Kenzo tomorrow. Good track, 3 metre rail, should play reasonably fairly. I hope we'll start in race four. Open race according to the betting, but I'm reasonably keen on number 10, Makina. Sue Waller, J. McDonald, perfect map. So there's three ticks for a start. She won a maiden at this track last start. I think that's going to be a reasonably strong form reference. She beat her very well-backed stablemate, Little Genie, ex-New Zealander there, who also ran very well in that race. But I think it's going to stack up pretty well. And as I said, she just gets the perfect run again. I lean to her reasonably strong in this race, and I agree with the market in that I think the rest, there's not much to, you know, that pick between them, but I do have a leaning to number 10, Makina, here at around 550, so backable each way as well.
So you got Macarena race four, number 10 for the Midweek Masterclass. What else have you got for us?
Move over to race six, Gareth. One down in class here, Ballroom Bella, who missed the start in a listed race last start. And got home very well. If it jumps, it should get a very good run here. It ran third in a race. Corniche ran second in, and he ran super again in the big race on Saturday. I think that is a very strong form line for a midweek race. You've got Gold Revolver, who'll lead, and Able Willie, who was a good first-up winner, but I do have to lean to number three, Ballroom Bella, here in race six.
All right, then. So race four, number 10, Macarena. Race six, number three, Ballroom Bella. These early two-year-old races, they're always intriguing because There's horses that have been well supported in races like a Percy Sykes, but the Colts and Geldings race, Imperial Force 225, McDonald and Wally here. Is he a bet?
Not for me at that price at this stage. I want to wait and see and also get a yard report for these debutants as well. I see the early money's actually been for his damn hot two, about seven into under five now. So he's actually been back to beat him already.
Yep, that's for Bjorn Baker. Into 460 now with bet 365. And then you've got the two-year-old fillies race. Heartbroken I was when Mergalia drew a wide gate and was scratched because I liked her trials. And I thought she might be a Percy Sykes play, but I don't know where we're going to start now to get to a Percy Sykes. But the other horse, user pin. It's been heavily supported. It's in the market for the Percy Sykes. I think this was the race last year that Chris Daly and also Kimochi both came out of, and they finished 1-2 in a Percy Sykes.
Yeah, that's right. The midweeks at this time of year are, you know, much stronger than standard midweeks, and that, you know, they will use them as launching pads for championships races. So we've got User Pin and also Panito on the same line of betting for the Percy Sykes in a couple of weeks' time. So, yeah, will be intriguing. Panito got a long way back on Dabu. That's a bit of a worry if that's going to be its racing style throughout its career. Use a pin, you know, it was the softest trial I've ever seen and still finished second last time out. So I can see why it's popular too.
Yeah, just having a look at the Percy Sykes market now. If you like one of those horses tomorrow, you'd back it for the Percy Sykes because they'll firm riding because we don't know who's going. Like, Bold Bastille's definitely not going. I see that Lady Camelot.
Lady Camelot's still. Yeah,
I mean, I think she's more size, I was thinking, but...
Okay.
Because the Percy Sykes is 1,200 or 1,100, and it's Group 2, I'm pretty sure, so...
It's 1,200, I think,
1,200. User pin, I should say, is at $17 now.
And Benito about the same?
Benito's $21.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I don't like Mergalia, we liked. I don't know. There's what, 3 weeks to the Percy Sykes, so she might have to go to a midweek the week after to gain a start. I've got no doubt they only scratched her because of the gate. But,
there's Warwick Farm meeting on Monday, no noms yet, so maybe there's a
Yeah, I think it's a 1300 metre race, however, that 2 year old race.
That's not ideal, is it?
No. But anyway, Waller knows what he's doing. She might not be ready. I'm just having a look at the Doncaster Prelude as well. We've had a host of text messages coming through. I'm trying to work out if another wheel will get a start. It's 21st on the order of entry. I think there's a few horses there that are 50-50. If I'm a betting man, I think he does gain a start another wheel.
Well, the pre-post betting is pretty sure it will. It's a very short price at the moment.
Yeah. So, I think he'll gain a start. I like Aubert Mirabai in the Doncaster, but I think he's a monster, that horse. But the 3 year olds have surprised me a little bit. How they've, like, I know with the weight advantage they've been getting, but they've been beating the older horses. I didn't have much time for these 3 year olds, but they've proven me wrong with V8 and Cylinder in those Group Ones.
I'm a bit worried about the three-year-old form out of Sydney over a trip. The Randwick Guineas finish was just a bunch and a bit of a messy race. So that always puts a bit of a question mark on the form. We saw on Saturday the Melbourne form lines were stronger, Riff Rocket and V8 out of the Australian Guineas. And we've got Southport Tycoon possibly fronting up on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. In fact, the Victorian form lines with the Blue Diamond and the Guineas and those three-year-old early autumn races have been the best type of form references that you needed for Sydney so far.
It has. That's not always the case.
No.
But, this year. I mean, that Blue Diamond was run at such a
high speed.
Fast tempo.
Yeah.
It's a good form reference, and it proved that on Saturday with Lady of Camelot.
And you see those horses that have been able to handle that. They've gone to new levels like Coleman and Lady of Camelot.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Lady of Camelot's Diamond Run was phenomenal to stick on like that after chasing that speed.
And I think what we learned a little bit as well is that, like, we knew they were proper figures there at Caulfield, because Caulfield got so much history there. Like, I don't know if we got carried away from one big performance from Storm Boy, and I know he's very good, but at the Gold Coast on a track that's just been a schmozzle since, basically.
That's right. I do my own ratings, and the Gold Coast run was a bit of an outlier. His other wins were good, but that was the outlier. And so whether that's going to hold up going forward is a question mark.
Well, it made the owners 20-odd million, so they don't really care.
Yeah, that was the race to win.
Whoever did the data for the Gold Coast to send those figures through the roof, well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Good on you, Mark. Thanks, brother.
Thanks. See you.
Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Chris Nelson joins us. Chris-o. It's a fascinating debate and chat to have regarding those figures out of that Magic Millions day, because when you think about it, there's massive ramifications in a way. He's a Jetstorm boy. I'm not saying he's not as good as everyone thinks he is, but he hasn't reached those figures since that day on the Gold Coast.
Well, you've got to also throw into that mix the fact that it's a restricted race, the Magic Millions. I mean, he looked good, but, you know, it's a restricted race. So I wasn't as strong as some of these others, obviously. You know, you look back on it now, and look, I'll be totally honest with you. When I did the final form for the race last week, I looked at Switzerland, I looked at Storm Boy, and I thought, yeah, they did what they had to do when they won those final lead-up races. And then I looked at Lady of Camelot, and I thought she was outstanding in the Blue Diamond.
Yep.
But I just had this sneaking feeling she might get involved in a speed duel, and that's what turned me off, and I wish it hadn't have.
No, well, Blake Shin had his master. He was tactically brilliant once again, B. Shin.
Yeah, he was. And the other two, I mean, like Storm Boy missed the kick, as we know, but I don't know that he would have won had he had jumped some. And he may turn out to be a superstar. We don't know that. And Switzerland, well, obviously, just didn't go at all. Obviously looking for the paddock, I would think. So,
well, he was woeful. Yeah. You couldn't even make that. Like, that was the worst nightmare for Switzerland followers. He was like 100-1 chance. He never travelled you listen to Chris Waller and like everything leading up to that race, you think that you're going to see it, like he's going to explode this horse, Switzerland. You didn't think it would go the other way where he exploded, but not the way you wanted him to explode.
No, he was under the whip before the home turn, which was just amazing.
And Storm Boy can't be like, he can't keep me, like he's like a draft horse at the start to get like, he hasn't got that acceleration. He's got to work through his gears, doesn't he? So that inside gate was a nightmare in the end when he was cluttered up, and he preferred to have drawn wide at the end of the day.
It would have been a lot better for him. Now, I haven't checked yesterday. Is he going on to the size?
Yeah, size, yep. Yeah,
I think I'd rather be with Manal in the size.
Yeah, that's what all our team said yesterday. They'd prefer, like, even Traffic Warden, $7. I think Manal, we bet $3.65 yesterday. The filly was... and there's talk that the filly might go there, Lady of Camelot. I see she firmed up in a few of the Percy Sykes markets, but I can't understand why they would go to the Percy Sykes with her. They'd stick at the Group Ones, I would imagine.
Well, yes, you're right. She could be dominant. Well, she could get away with that and then go for the Triple Crown.
Yeah, so she's, well, Manal's at, she's $9 now. When the boys mentioned she was $17 yesterday. So.
Yeah, well, that was way over. I mean, she was one of the better runs in the race, if not the best run in the race.
You got to be quick these days. We had a greyhound trainer, Jason Thompson. He tipped us, Tim Zoo. He goes, what price Tim Zoo, Gareth, in the Golden Easter Egg? I said, $26, mate. And then he goes, Jesus, he wanted to hurry up to get off the phone to go and bet with Bet365. And I kept him on just to try and work it out myself. And then by the time I got to my Bet365 account, he was into $13. You got to be quick these days, I tell you what.
Everyone's listening, Gareth.
Unbelievable. What about you, Chris? So what are we doing tomorrow? The prices aren't out just yet.
No, and we've got plenty of rain up here. Eagle Farm's come up a heavy 8, which doesn't happen very often at Eagle Farm, this morning. And they're tipping we get another 40 mils of rain possible today. It just won't stop. It's just every day. It's just constant drizzle.
Yeah.
Been going for weeks and weeks and weeks. So anyway, we will have some sort of rain-affected ground at Eagle Farm, probably a lot of scratchings in the morning. But I'll go with these two. Race 4, number 5, All Event. All Event drops back in distance tomorrow. I think that suits him. The 1,200 metres is too far for him, and that was the go at Eagle Farm last time out. You look at his previous runs, they were both seconds, Eagle Farm and the Sunny Coast, both at 1,000 metres. And you go right back when he was racing in New South Wales, and you can see that heavy track win at Wyong. And he was very strong to the line there. That was a good effort. And his soft track win also was at Wyong in a soft 6, and he was good there also. So I think he's a horse that gets through the ground really well. He's beautifully weighted against some of these horses that have been going up against him of late. I think he's the horse to beat. So number 5, All Event, with the claim for Bailey Wheeler. And the next race, I've gone with Bailey Wheeler again here, right down near the bottom, Deferential. Race 5, number 9, looks absolutely thrown in at the weights. Deferential's form, he ran a good second, 2 back at Eagle Farm behind Evocator, who flashed late and got up. And then he ran second to Majestic Boom last time out. This is one of Laurie Mayfield Smith's unbeaten, has come out and won again. Oh, no, that was the second win, sorry. The maiden win was first. I love the way Deferential finished off from the back of the field, gets to 1,400 metres, down to 52.5. He's just thrown in here at the weights. He carried 58 last time. He's had one go on heavy for a good win. That was first up on the Sunshine Coast heavy 10. So he looks beautifully placed. I think those two can both run really well, Gareth.
Beautiful. Race 4, number 5. Race 5, number 9. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Gareth. Have a good day.